All right, hello friends. I'm Campbell and this is Advanced Studio Classroom. Welcome to day two of April 2016. Today we are doing a speed review of a book called The Genius of Opposites. And back in the studio with me, I have my two friends, Rebecca and Ben. Say hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, it's great to have you guys back here with us to discuss this very, very interesting book, The Genius of Opposites. Now, Rebecca, what is something that you learned from yesterday's article?
Yesterday. Well, let's see. Yesterday, I really enjoyed talking about how to accept the alien, meaning that it's important to accept the other person, referring to introverts and extroverts. If you're an extrovert, you want to accept the introvert and who that person is. And of course, as an introvert, you want to accept how an extrovert is.
Uh-huh. Okay, what about you, Ben?
Well, yesterday we talked about how we should bring on the battles. If you have a conflict with another extrovert or an introvert, depending on who you are, you should talk out the problems that you have and figure out what the solution is. And maybe the solution that you guys get together and figure out will be better than the original idea.
That's right. Okay, so those were the first two steps of Con Weiler's book. She has five steps, and again, they start with A, B, C, D, and E. So yesterday we covered A, B, and C. A is accept the alien, B is bring on the battles, and C is cast the character, which means knowing your role. Are you an introvert or are you an extrovert? And to be okay with that and to bring the best of being an introvert out, or bring the best of being an extrovert out. You know, I think a lot of times when we have friendships or partnerships or even in married couples, people have this misconception that you should find someone who is exactly like you. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of times that can actually cause problems. What do you guys think?
Absolutely. Two people who are exactly alike, well, first of all, that's impossible. There's going to be some differences.
Right.
But personality-wise, often if, let's say it's two introverts, often if there's a problem, they might not talk it out, and that's important. If it's two extroverts, they might not think it out, and that's also a problem.
Right.
So there's a lot of different situations that you want to avoid, and that might happen if it's two of the same type of personality.
And when you have two different people, I think the beautiful thing is that both different people have different strengths and different weaknesses. And often one person's strengths will overpower the other person's weakness or balance out the other person's weaknesses. And so when you bring the two people together, you're bringing two different, I guess, set of strengths to the table, which is really powerful.
Yeah. I remember when my wife and I were dating, my wife and I are very opposite, all right? And so you guys know Linda. She is she's really sweet, and she's got this really bubbly personality, and sometimes I can be more severe, and I have less of a bubbly personality. I am still friendly, but less bubbly than she is. So when we were dating, we would fight a lot almost every day. And there were several times we wanted to break up, but the reason we didn't was because we had a conversation with my dad, and he said, I feel like you guys are the perfect match. And the two of us were like, huh? Perfect match? How does that work? And he says, well, perfect match meaning that you're not exactly the same, but you're like cogs in a clock, the cogs in a wheel, right? The different parts, when you can match them together, you create a beautiful machine that works well, but it's the dips and the stuff that sticks out that comes together, and that's where but you have to learn how to put it together like a puzzle piece, right? Some pieces stick out, some places go in. And so it's learning how to work and accept the opposites, right? And that's where the magic really happens. And that's what we're talking about today, is learning how to build off of people's strengths, right? Everybody has a different strength. How do you put it together? Like a puzzle, right? The different parts that come in and out, and that's how you build this amazing picture. All right. So let's continue with our article. We already heard the first three steps of this process, and we're going to be looking at the last two steps of this process, and they will start with D and E. So listen for that as we start our article today on page 11.
finding common ground. Kahnweiler's fourth step is to destroy the dislike. It's easy for two people with such clashing personalities to develop deep animosity toward each other. They must work, instead, on learning to respect and like each other as much as possible. The fifth and final step is that each can't offer everything. Introvert-extrovert consulting partnerships are often powerful because neither partner could offer clients all they want. But the two partners working together are able to present a much more diverse but complementary product or service.
All right, so here were the last two steps of this process, right? We said they start with D and E. Okay, so what is the fourth step? It starts with the D.
It is to destroy the dislike. And there's the D.
Yes.
D, destroy the dislike.
All right, what does that mean, to destroy the dislike?
Well, our lesson says that it's easy for two people with such clashing personalities to develop a deep animosity toward each other. And of course, here in our lesson, it's also talking about how you need to get rid of that dislike for the other person's personality or the other person's way of doing something. So rather than hating, or rather than having an extrovert dislike an introvert, why don't you look for a common ground?
Yeah, and find the places that they do things very well, and try to respect that. Respect is very important in destroying the dislike. I don't think that I could like somebody that I didn't respect. So first comes the respect, and then comes the liking.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, it's easy to criticize and judge people who are different than you because you don't understand them, and you feel like a lot of people feel like their way is the best, or, you know, their perspective is the only perspective, and a lot of times that can create problems. But when we can learn to respect other people and understand that their personalities are just as valid as our personalities, that's where the magic can happen. Now, we started yesterday's article talking about two musical writers of musicals, Lerner and Lowe, and we said that they were they had kind of conflicting personalities. One was an extrovert, one was an introvert, and we have a sidebar at the bottom of page 10 about that. Ben, can you read that for us?
Yes. Don't shy away from conflict. Not all stories have a happy ending. Kahnweiler reports in his memoir, Alan J. Lerner believes he and his writing partner Friedrich Lowe could have written more wonderful musicals if they had gotten along. In the end, we were a little like the couple being discussed in one of Noel Coward's plays. Do they fight? Says one. Oh no, says the other. They're much too unhappy to fight.
All right, so the idea here is that they you know, they started off well, they were able to work together, but eventually their two personalities got the better of them. And it says, do they fight? Oh no, they're much too unhappy to fight. So at some point you kind of give up, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so the idea here is to work with each other and to fight for each other, right? As we were saying yesterday, and learning to accept one another and embracing the other person's personality instead of pushing it away. All right. So the fifth and final step, again, we're down to our E. What is the E there?
Each can't offer everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very good point and a good thing to remember, that both extroverts and introverts, they can't offer everything to everybody. And it says introvert-extrovert consulting partnerships are often powerful because neither partner could offer clients all they want. So if an extrovert is trying to provide all the answers, it's not going to work.
Uh-huh.
And if an introvert is trying to provide all the answers, it won't work. But if the two of them come together, they both offer different strengths and they have different weaknesses, and it's a lot more powerful.
That's right. So I think the idea here is that we do need one another. Mm-hmm. None of us are complete in and of ourselves. and we need the other person's strengths to complement our strengths, and that is how we can create a more complementary, a more perfect product. What does it mean to have a complementary product?
Well, together, it's more attractive.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, you could go to a store and buy a book, and they could say to you, well, there's a complimentary item that
right.
goes along mm-hmm. with the book.
Right.
We'll give you a free magazine or mm-hmm. a free CD with mm-hmm. the book. That's a complimentary purchase.
Right.
But in this case, for personalities, when two personalities go together, if they complement each other,
mm-hmm.
that makes a complementary relationship, and mm-hmm. they can produce a complementary product.
Right, mm-hmm. yeah. I often think about like a picture, right? If it's black and white, you need the black and the white in order to have that picture come out. If you just have all black, it's just you're not going to see anything. And all white, there's nothing there, right? So you need the black and the white. They're opposites, but they complement each other. Also, mm-hmm. the idea of that kite, a kite, you mm-hmm. need the tension, that string, in order for that kite to fly. If you don't have that tension, the kite is going to just drop to the ground. So a lot of times, it's learning to work with that tension and how to work together and to find something beautiful as a combination of the two opposites. All right, well, let's continue our article on line 13 and see what the rest of this methodology says.
For each step of her methodology, Kahnweiler covers why that particular step is important, the pitfalls that can break down the step, and the solutions that ensure success. The energy and creativity that emerge from constructive conflicts are best for the organization and lead to better solutions. Also, Kahnweiler writes, a major conflict can actually be a turning point in the relationship, paving the way to a productive collaboration.
All right, so we covered our five steps. Let's review the five steps again. A is?
Accept the alien.
Good. B is?
Battles don't have to be avoided.
Right. Bring on the battles. Okay. And C is cast the character. All right. And we have D, which is?
Destroy the dislike.
And E is?
Each can't offer everything.
All right. So for each step of this methodology, and a methodology is just a set of rules or ideas or practices of doing something, right? Okay, so for each step of this methodology, Kahnweiler covers why that particular step is important and the pitfalls that can break down the step and the solutions that can ensure success. Now, what are pitfalls?
Well, pitfalls are things that make you mess up or fail, things that get you into trouble,
mm-hmm.
things that you struggle with.
That's right. So, there are different pitfalls that can occur in these different steps. So, different things that might mess up the process, right? And then there are different solutions that can ensure success. Mm-hmm. All right. So, the energy and creativity that emerge from constructive conflicts are best for the organization and lead to better solutions. I really like this description of constructive conflict.
I actually was just looking at that myself, Campbell. Mm. Constructive conflict. Now, oftentimes people think of conflict as being a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
They think, oh my goodness, there's conflict. That means that people need to split or there's personality conflict. But actually, constructive conflict is something that, yes, there could be conflict, but through that conflict, people can actually grow and it could end up strengthening the organization, which could lead to a better solution.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. And I love this word constructive. It means that it's useful to improving or building something. And as Rebecca was saying, a lot of times people wouldn't put these two words together. They think that conflicts are destructive and there is the very opposite of being constructive. But conflicts can actually be helpful. And it reminds me again of of some advice that I was given before we got married, and it was from a wise woman, and she was saying that don't be afraid to fight. You know, a lot of times that arguments is just a way of communicating, but you have to learn to fight correctly. You have to learn how to argue well, right? You don't put each other down, you don't call each other names, but to address the issue and to not shy away from addressing the issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the sidebar in page 10, it said that this guy named Noel Coward said, "Do they fight?" And the other one says, "No, they're much too unhappy to fight." I think it's a very scary thing when two people are not willing to talk out their conflicts. Mm-hmm. And that's even worse than talking out your conflicts. So it's a really important thing to understand the difference in relationship and the difference in personality. And as an extrovert myself, I know that I like to talk about conflicts. Right. I like mm-hmm. to figure it out
right.
as soon as possible. I like to solve it.
Right.
And I find myself struggling when somebody doesn't want to talk about that mm-hmm. conflict. And I feel like the conflict is still in the air.
Right.
The conflict is still there.
Right.
And maybe they don't feel that way, but I feel like, oh no, I gotta right. solve this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that conflicts are really good and we need conflicts. Otherwise we're going to find ourselves stuffing bad feelings inside and mm-hmm. not letting them out.
Right. I used to have this philosophy that I wouldn't consider a person a really, really good friend until I had a fight with them, you know? I feel like sometimes, I mean, not that I enjoy fighting, but sometimes, like, when you fight with someone, mm-hmm. then you really get to know them, and it kind of allows you to bond in a weird way. It kind of bonds you closer together.
Well, I think it also goes to show whether or not that person's a true friend.
Yeah.
Because if you can get through a conflict and then in the end you're still friends,
mm-hmm.
you're, like you said, it kind of strengthens the relationship and it does create this bond. And I really like how our lesson says that a major conflict can actually be a turning point in the relationship. And like we've already been talking about, oftentimes when there is a major conflict, we automatically think, oh no, there's something wrong with this relationship. Maybe these two people shouldn't be working together. Maybe these two people shouldn't be friends. But actually, this could be a perfect opportunity for different personalities to bring their feelings to the table, work through it, learn how to work with the other person, and then it could actually end up making the relationships so much stronger.
Right, I agree. I think there's too much of a myth that a perfect relationship is void of conflicts, but that is so not true, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of couples break up because they feel like, oh, we just don't match. We you know, fight all the time. But I think it's also about the way you fight, you know? When you can fight for each other and you fight to make your relationship stronger and you're dealing with an issue rather than attacking one another, I think it can be actually a really great thing.
That sounds like a brilliant way of putting things. I'm really glad that you have that perspective, Campbell. I think that's a really good perspective to have for all mm-hmm. relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, I think we should not be afraid to deal with conflicts. And again, as you were saying, you know, it's not good to stuff things away.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting though is sometimes what I've noticed is introverts, sometimes they'll process things in their mind and then they'll be like, okay, we're okay, right? And then
mm-hmm.
and then the other person's left with, wait,
no.
but we didn't
yeah.
talk.
This is not over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's actually the extroverted side of me, mm-hmm. is I like to talk things through. There's nothing more frustrating than when I had a conflict with someone and then the person doesn't want to talk about it, and the next day they're just totally fine. They come in, they're smiling, and I'm thinking, but wait a minute. We just had this big conflict yesterday, and we haven't talked about it, and
right.
you're fine?
Yeah.
But then in my little heart, I'm thinking, we're not okay. I need to sit down and talk about it. So
right.
that's the extroverted side of me.
Yeah. So learning to give each other room to do what you need to do to get to that, you know, conflict resolution. All right, well, we have one last section of our article here. Let's finish up this article and then we'll discuss it.
Bring out and address the obvious problems. Battles can also deal fatal blows to introvert-extrovert collaboration, For example, if one partner considers him or herself more important. Hiding your concerns is another way that battles can be fatal, according to Kahnweiler. If partners don't bring out the elephant in the room, the result, passive-aggressive behavior from the extrovert and internalized resentment from the introvert can eventually destroy the partnership. Clear communication, bringing in a third party to break through an impasse and taking timeouts will help conflicts from degenerating. Kahnweiler doesn't gloss over the difficulties in making extrovert-introvert partnerships work. The genius of opposites is filled with stories of conflicts, most resolved through an effort at communication and a foundation of respect.
All right, so earlier we were talking about the idea of how to resolve conflicts and how sometimes introverts might just go off into their own little space and process it and then just be okay. But then the other person is left feeling like, wait, but we didn't address the problem, right? So how do we address the problems? How do we bring out the problems? Well, battles can also deal fatal blows to introvert-extrovert collaboration, right? How is that so, Rebecca?
Well, in our lesson it says, if one partner considers him or herself more important.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem here is if one of the people, one of the partners, think that they're more important than the other person, if there's a big blowout, then it could actually end up hurting the relationship rather than helping it,
right,
if they're not willing to compromise.
Absolutely. And there's a very famous Bible proverb, that says that pride goes before the fall. And I think that's absolutely the case. Respect is very important. And you cannot have respect with pride. If you think that you're better, then you're not going to think that the other person has qualities that you need.
Right.
You're going to feel like you can do it on your own.
Uh-huh. Right. And I think the key to all of this is understanding and valuing the other person, right? Whoever you are, whatever you are, is learning to value the other person for what they can offer, and that the understanding that when you work together, you are more powerful than when you are on your own. All right, there's another problem here that the next sentence talks about. What does it say, Ben?
If they don't bring out the elephant in the room, then the behavior and internalized resentment will probably eventually destroy the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting phrase there, elephant in the room.
Yeah, I really love that phrase, the elephant in the room. What does that mean, Rebecca?
Well, it's just saying that if you hide your concerns, so you don't want to keep your concerns inside. You actually want to bring your concerns out, express what's really going on inside. So bring the elephant out, meaning that you need to bring out your frustrations. You don't want to try to push it aside and pretend that it's not important.
Right.
At least what I've noticed in some, you know, conversations with people, sometimes people don't think that their concerns are important enough to actually talk about, and so they don't want to talk about it.
Right.
But then the problem is there's going to be no resolution.
Right.
There's going to be no conflict resolution because the person's not willing to discuss what's really going on.
Right, yeah. When we talk about the elephant in the room, this is an idiom describing something that's obvious. You know, there's a problem there, and everyone knows that there's a problem, but no one wants to address it, right? It's kind of like the idea that if there's this giant elephant in the room, everyone can see it, right? But, you know, no one's doing anything about the elephant in the room. So, for example, if, you know, let's say someone is constantly late and everybody knows it, and it kind of affects everybody's work, but nobody actually dares to talk about, you know, the problem that this person is always having, right? So learning how to bring out the problems in a constructive way. And if you don't, then we have this term passive-aggressive behavior from an extrovert might occur. What is a passive-aggressive behavior?
Ooh, passive-aggressive behavior. That is basically when Typically, I think it's done, actually, either an extrovert or an introvert can do this, but it's when they know that there's a problem, but rather than directly addressing the problem, they'll do it in an indirect way.
Right.
So maybe someone is late, and rather than coming up to the person directly and saying, you know, you've been late 5 times in the last week, you need to show up on time, they might do it in an indirect way and say something more like, you're always late, or I can't believe you missed the meeting this morning.
Right.
You know, they'll do it in an indirect way,
right,
but it's aggressive in a passive way.
That's right. So, for example, if a husband is constantly causing delays in a husband and wife relationship, mm-hmm. you know, the wife might be like, oh, so you decided to be on time today, huh? That's nice of you, right? So these different things like that. All right, and the other side is the introvert will internalize the resentment. They'll feel really upset, and they'll kind of just keep their mouth shut, and that can grow and cause a lot of problems. All right, so what is the solution here, Ben?
Clear communication. Talk about it. Talk about it clearly, and don't let your emotions get involved. Just talk about what you really want to talk about.
Right, and bringing in a third party, bringing in another person to talk about it and to look at the thing from the outside and give a solution to the impasse, which is what you are unable to get over.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that there's going to be conflict, but dealing with it and accepting it and learning to work with one another. And again, the key is communication and building a foundation of respect. Well, friends, we hope that you respect one another. We certainly respect you and your opinion, and we love hearing from you. And we're just thankful that you have always chosen to study with us and to continue to improve your English with Advanced Studio Classroom. And we hope that today and yesterday's article has been helpful to you and in your relationships, in your work partnerships, in your marriage, in your relationships with your children. And we just pray that this would be a way to help you improve not only your English, but your life. Well, friends, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next time right here on Advanced. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.